Welcome to the HR Locker podcast. Today we are joined by Sinead McNamara from the National Menopause Summit. In this episode, we dive into the critical topic of menopause, a subject that impacts many yet remains under-discussed in professional circles. Sinead shares details of the upcoming National Menopause Summit on April 11th and 12th at the Aviva Stadium, emphasising that this event isn't exclusively for women in midlife, but open to anyone interested in understanding perimenopause and menopause. With her extensive background in media and event management, she sheds light on her own personal menopause journey and the motivation behind creating the summit. We'll explore how menopause can affect women at work and why it's essential for businesses to acknowledge and support their employees through this stage. Expect a candid conversation filled with actionable insights aimed at enhancing understanding and support for menopausal women in the workplace. We really hope you enjoy.
Welcome to today's podcast. My name is Christelle Rinn and I'm the Chief Operating Officer here at HR Locker. Today, I am delighted to have Sinead McNamara with us from the National Menopause Summit. Thank you so much, Sinead, for being with us today.
Hi, Crystal. Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Sinead, I suppose if we start with, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, the inception of the summit, and why did you feel compelled to set it up?
Indeed. Okay, Crystal. Well, just sort of going back to ancient history, my background would have been in media. So I would have worked in the likes of Sky and TV3 when it was called that, and independent newspapers and all of that kind of business many years ago. But about 12 years ago now, I got involved in corporate events and then went on to be involved in festivals, would you believe, which I still work in those areas. So that's just a little bit of background about me. But basically, back in 2020, Crystal, which, as we all remember, was the dark days of year one of lockdown, I started to experience some very troubling menopause symptoms. So previous to that, for, say, 2018, 2019, I knew that perimenopause was kicking in. I mean, I was the right age, etc. I'm 55 now. And the typical kind of symptoms that one would hear about, the more common ones that people are aware of, let's say. So the likes of hot flushes, nothing. Now, I was lucky. Nothing was like murdering me. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, periods becoming irregular, etc. So to be honest with you, Kristen, I always say this. I thought I was kind of getting away with blue murder, because the reason I thought that is because I have a wonderful group of friends that I've known since my 20s, who are all between sort of 8 and 10 years older than me. So I had had a ringside seat to their menopause journeys. And I'd heard, you know, varying reports, obviously, and et cetera. But I thought, based on what I was aware of in terms of their experience, that back in 2018, 2019 was kind of getting away with murder here. And I was kind of pretty, you know, sort of delighted with myself. However, the gods of menopause had plans for me that at that point I was not remotely aware of. So around, I would say, May, June of 2020, I started to develop brain fog. Now, brain fog, I would love to canvas for the term brain fog to be changed. And the reason I say that is because it doesn't sound all that serious. However, if brain fog is something that manifests itself in a person's menopause journey, and obviously menopause journeys are extremely individual, it's not necessarily going to hit. It manifests itself on a spectrum. So brain fog can be sort of occasional forgetfulness, running into people you don't remember their name, etc. I'm being very general here, up to a kind of an almost, well, for me, it felt like cognitive paralysis, quite frankly, and I don't say that lightly. So as the year went on, even though I was pretty well educated on menopause, given that I had this wonderful group of pals that had gone through it before I had, I was not drawing a correlation between my menopause and what I was experiencing, because it was so dramatic. to the point that I was, I actually believed that I was developing early onset dementia. I mean, from a work perspective, I literally couldn't manage my diary. You know, I mean, things were just all over the place. And what happens then, Crystal, is, you know, as I've always been fortunate in that I was never somebody who suffered from any kind of mental health issues or anxiety. But when you start to believe that you're basically approaching your cognitive end, I can tell you, you start experiencing a lot of anxiety and a lot of misery and depression, I suppose. So the whole thing became the perfect storm of kind of nightmare scenarios. I said to my business partner, Shell Holden, who's co-director on the National Menopause Summit, obviously at this point, I hadn't even thought about running a summit, couldn't think about much, to be honest. I said to Shell at the end of 2020 that, in fact, I was finished with our business partnership. I could no longer do the work. I'm sure like everybody's job, and everybody will be familiar with this, in our business, there's a lot of plates to keep spinning, and I just couldn't manage it anymore. Anyway, to move on to a more positive time and to answer your question, I embraced HRT. I was lucky in that I was someone who was suitable to take HRT, and in time, although HRT in itself can be a bit of a journey, in time things started to improve for me. And sort of the year before we came out of COVID, so I think we came out of COVID in January 22, if I'm correct, I started to formulate the idea of a fact-based menopause summit that would not only offer 100% fact-based information, because I was a little bit perturbed and irritated by the amount of brands that will jump into that space when women are very vulnerable and try and sell them basically anything. But so a fact-based summit, but one that would also cover the whole aspect of work. Because as we know now at this point, Chris, has been a lot of research done. We've done our own survey, etc. And women, a lot of women really find work very, very challenging during their perimenopause and their menopause. So I wanted to address that and from a workplace perspective, advocate for the widespread introduction of menopause supports across the Irish business environment, and also deal with the whole clinical aspect. So sorry, that's a very long answer to your question, but that's where it all came from.
But that's, you know, one of the things you said, I just wrote down two things, Sinead, is that, you know, you talk about brain fog, and a lot of the time, exactly like I said, it was like, oh gosh, person's got brain fog, you know, it's a bit of like saying, oh, PMS, and people just kind of, you know, wave it off to being something that, oh gosh, that's just silly, you know, they just need to lie down for a minute, take a paracetamol and you'll be fine. And I think that that's a really interesting concept when we're talking about kind of workplace and environments, that when you're going through menopause, that a lot of companies probably just don't take it seriously, that there is going to be an effect on your work, and that, not that they have to put in dramatic supports around that or anything like that, but, you know, in terms of you just looking at companies and workplaces, are there any kind of just basic things that companies can look at?
Exactly. Well, just on that point, Crystal, a couple of things. I think to be fair to organizations and to be fair to everyone, pre-COVID, generally speaking, menopause was not even on the agenda. And in fact, 100%. Menopause was and again, I'm speaking in general terms here, was a topic surrounded by shame, taboo, please tell me it's not happening, you know, all of this kind of stuff. Women were struggling to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So to be fair, it's understandable that workplaces weren't. And I think really at this point, if you don't have a menopause awareness program or supports in your organization to cut everybody a bit of slack, that could be down to a lack of education from the organization's perspective. Do you know what I mean? And that is something that we offer through the summit. But, you know, from a human perspective, and again, I can only speak directly from my own experience, but obviously I all of my friends are at this stage of our lives now, obviously. One of the major problems with menopause from a workplace perspective, in an environment where nobody talks about it and it's not really considered, is that if you are struggling, whether it's brain fog or hot flushes, and if you're suffering from night sweats, you don't get a lot of sleep, and however this may manifest itself, you have the added pressure in a workplace environment of pretending that everything is okay. And again, without sounding dramatic, I can't emphasize how difficult it is in the face of Rome burning to pretend that everything is okay. And this is the reason why, as you know yourself, a number of years ago, the Menopause Hub and IBEC did their survey on menopause in the workplace. And one in 10 women were leaving. And we did a survey recently, the National Menopause Summit. We did our own survey, which is on nationalmenopausesummit.com. Obviously, one of the areas we focused on was menopause and the workplace. And 24% of our respondents said they had considered leaving their job during their perimenopause, menopause journey, and that in fact 7% had left. So it's in and around the same kind of numbers, maybe a little less than back when IBEC and the Menopause Hub did their survey. So, you know, apart from obviously the really difficult implications this has for a person, because I think obviously we all work. It's to a degree, rightly or wrongly, part of our identity. It's certainly part of our daily lives. Mm-hmm. And from a personal perspective, not being able to do your job anymore obviously is not a good thing. But from an employer's perspective, to wave goodbye effectively, Crystal, to people in your organization with 20, 25, 30 years experience, that is irreplaceable. You know, that's not like, well, I'll just get somebody else in. That is irreplaceable. And if you can, as an organization, offer some very simple menopause supports, you can mitigate against that. And why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah. And, you know, eventually it just comes back down to the smallest thing is about even just making it okay to talk about it.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And not be embarrassed that you're going through it. And you said something there that I would totally believe in the last, I mean, I still don't think it's gone, is that most of the time women were like, no, I'm fine.
Yes.
Nothing's happening with me.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. No, for sure. And I mean, sure, look, you know, it's a whole separate conversation, Crystal, but, you know, women are the great caretakers in society. Let's just call it, you know, most of them are doing the vast majority of work in the home. I know it might be unpopular to say that, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anecdotally, from my experience and everybody I know, that's the way that it is. And then obviously you have a full-time or part-time job or career on top of that. And I suppose really you're trying to tell yourself you're okay, because there is so much going on for people. And if you throw a very difficult menopause in on top of that, I mean, it's incredibly difficult. But I think, thankfully, the narrative is changing. I mean, I'll be honest, I have no problem in meetings going, sorry, everybody, menopause brain. I have no shame. I have no shame. And to be fair, to meetings I have been in with, you know, younger women, let's say, or male HR people or leadership teams, nobody anymore goes, geez. You know what I mean? So that is changing. And I think it's really positive that it is changing from a workplace perspective. But I think in terms of introducing supports, even something simple like introducing, you know, a policy that communicates that we are open to discussing menopause, mm-hmm. and having champions on your leadership team, for example, who are going to be allies in that regard. So, for example, if I was running a massive organization, which thankfully I'm not, I would be happy to discuss that openly in front of everyone, because that's what you have to do. You have to create an environment. It works from the top down, as we know, where people feel comfortable to discuss this particular issue. And if Sinead, the CEO, mm-hmm. is doing it, well, then Sarah, the sales manager, can do it, or you know, Jackie, the sales rep, whatever the situation may be. So I think
is probably the top thing, is that if you're at the boardroom table and you're like, no, I'm Grant, I don't know what's wrong with her, she's, but we're open to it and we're really open to supporting it, but me and the leadership team, we're all fine. That's the key, right? You've got to lead from the top to say, absolutely, it's happening to me too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, just normalize it. Yeah. And we're all humans. And at the end of the day, you know, as we all are aware, you know, menopause is not an opt-in situation here. As I'm always saying, and everybody knows, 50% of the world's population, if they are fortunate enough to live to this stage of their lives, will go through menopause. It's not optional. And even if you're one of the very few, and I don't know any of them, lucky women who experience no symptoms, don't fool yourself. you're still going through menopause, you're still losing estrogen, you know, you're still losing your hormones, even if you're not feeling bad as a result. So, you know, it's kind of a bit crazy that this is not something. I mean, we can obviously understandably discuss pregnancy, for example, but not every woman decides to have a baby. You know what I mean? So, but everyone is going to go through menopause, as I say, if they're lucky enough to reach that point in their lives. So it's just kind of bananas that it's not something, but it's understandable why it's going to be. But there, hopefully it's changing.
So Sinead, you are in full on organization mode, 4 weeks until the summit.
I know.
Tell us a bit about the lineup, what to expect.
Sure, absolutely. Well, the way that I designed the agenda, Crystal, is that this is literally a masterclass in menopause. I have no problem stating that, because all of the people that we have on our speaker panel, who are the best of the very best clinicians, healthcare practitioners, legal and HR experts, business and union leaders, advocates, as part of our speaker panel across the National Menopause Summit agenda. So just to mention to everybody that we are taking place on the 11th and 12th of April at the Aviva Stadium. However, you only need a ticket for one day. So we are rolling out the same agenda across both days. So you don't need a 2-day ticket, okay? So we, from a workplace perspective, we have obviously the wonderful Loretta Dignam is one of our speakers, and I think everybody is familiar with Loretta at this stage as CEO and founder of the Menopause Hub. And Maeve McLean, who's the Chief People Officer at Lidl Ireland and Northern Ireland, will also be one of our speakers in terms of, if you like, a workplace case study. And obviously Lidl have been shown huge leadership and fantastic, you know, developments in terms of their menopause menopause brain, there you go. There are menopause policies. We have the wonderful Katie Ridge, and Katie is a barrister at law. She's head of Adair, head of employee relations at Adair HR. And we've worked with Katie again over the last two summits last year. We have an expert panel that includes the likes of Martin Gillick, who's head of wellbeing at Bus Éireann. And God bless Martin. He was the person within Bus Éireann who was responsible for introducing the menopause policy within Bus Éireann. And we have the wonderful, we have so many great people. We have the wonderful Goretti Sheridan, who's chief superintendent. She was superintendent last time when we were in Cork, and subsequently Goretti has been promoted to chief superintendent in An Garda Síochána. And Goretti was one of the members of the organization that sort of spearheaded the introduction of the menopause support document in An Garda Síochána. So all these people from a workplace perspective are living this, are doing workplace programs with companies on the introduction of menopause supports, or have literally, you know, introduced them into their own organization. So there is a wealth of knowledge. But the way that I also organized the summit agenda, Crystal, was in the morning we focus on menopause in the workplace. Okay, we also have expert panels and we have audience Q&A at that. So people will have an opportunity to ask these people questions directly. But then in the afternoon, we go through the journey through menopause, which is more of our clinical section, if you like. So we've Dr. Deirdre Lundy, who's head of the Complex Menopause Clinic at the National Maternity Hospital, Dr. Kiva Hartley, who's head of the Complex Menopause Clinic at the Rotunda. We have Shalini Wiseman's amazing pelvic health physio. We have Dr. Samantha Cushion from UCC. I could go on, but to make the point that one narrative informs the other, Crystal. So say, for example, you are there from a workplace perspective, but you are either not in menopause yourself yet, or alternatively, you're a man. Let's just say that. If you will get the learnings from session two that will make you fully understand, because you'll understand, you'll have a clear understanding of the implications of menopause symptoms. So it will make complete sense as to why you should be introducing the supports into your organization. And if people attend as a private individual, given that, let's speak generally, most of us are working at this point in our lives, even if I'm not on the management team, even if I'm not part of the HR team, I can bring back to my organization and sort of signpost that and maybe start that conversation where I work myself. So we purposely purposely designed the agenda that way. And there's another really long answer for you, Crystal. I'm not patient short answers.
But what I love about it, Sinead, is two things. And we spoke about this the last time we spoke, is that you're not trying to cash in on something. You're not selling stuff there for people. No. You're just really giving information. Because a lot of the time, I'm sure most people are the same as this. God forbid I Google menopause, and next thing on my Facebook or Instagram, I'm being sold these magic tablets or magic face masks or magic night dresses or whatever. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically, I suppose the point that I'd really like to clearly make, Crystal, and I'll take the opportunity to do this. The National Menopause Summit is not an event that has been designed for midlife women exclusively. This is an educational platform for anybody who wants to educate themselves on perimenopause and menopause. Whether you are going to go through it, you're going through it, you're involved in an organization, maybe you're on the management team or you work in the HR department or you're the HR director or whatever. And anyone who has an interest in learning fact-based information around perimenopause and menopause, that is what this has been designed for. And just on that note, we've had younger women at the summit. Obviously, we've had plenty of men at the summit because obviously men and women are part of management teams and HR teams and workplaces. I know that's stating the obvious. So we have had a broad audience. We've had physiotherapists, psychologists, you know, we're offering CPD points now, by the way, because.
I saw that actually.
We were overwhelmed with a request for CPD points. So we have put that in place now for the, and we will do that obviously moving forward with the summits. So it really is an educational platform that just happens to be in an event format, if you like. So there will be nobody on stage saying, you know, take this particular supplement and that will cure all your ills. I have a major personal problem with that.
Well, somebody told me the other day, Sinead, I should be smoking rosemary. I was like, I'm not into that.
I mean, look. If it wasn't so sad, it would be funny, Crystal. The amount of misinformation and what can only be described as dark art around menopause. I mean, it must be akin to the Middle Ages, the kind of misinformation and dark art around the menstrual period when people thought women were cursing the village and crops would fail. I mean, it's not far from that. Do you know what I mean? Bananas. So, yeah, well, let's try and strip out all of the noise and all of the misinformation and afford people with the very best information to either manage their workplaces or manage their own personal journey. And as I've said at the last two summits, how people wish to manage, just on the personal side for a moment, how people wish to manage their menopause journeys is a personal decision. And, you know, it's a free country and everybody can make whatever choices they wish. However, when you leave the National Menopause Summit, you will know what works. Now, if you choose still go, whatever, that's fair enough. But you will be armed with the facts. And I think that's critical for women.
Yeah, I'd agree with you because it's just so hard. Yeah. Sinead, best place for people to contact you? Website, LinkedIn?
Yeah, people can contact me. My contact details, but I'll share them with everybody here. My email address is Sinead@bestinvest. That's BESTINF. For festival, est.ie, sinead@bestinvest.ie. You'll see all the contact details on the site. And also one other little thing worth mentioning, Crystal. A lot of organizations, we've obviously had a lot of organizations join us over the last two summits and everybody can see who they are on the website. But just in terms of sort of logistics for a second, I get contacted regularly just in terms of, you know, generating invoices for organizations who may not be in a position to book tables 10 or whatever. Or book tickets on the site. So there's no problem if you want to come.
Oh, great.
And you need to work with an invoice rather than booking directly on the site, just contact me at my email address. I'd be delighted to look after you. So yeah.
Thanks, Sinead. And this is where I ask for my free tickets then as well.
Of course, no problem. No. You and I have an offline conversation. You can tell me which day you want to come.
No, but thank you, Sinead. It's been a real treat talking to you. And I just think it's such a huge area that I'm hoping will be, will just get less and less tabooed over the next few years. And again, getting rid of the dark arts around it. So thank you, Sinead. I'm really looking forward to the summit as well.
No problem.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Check us out at hrlocker.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Make sure to subscribe to catch the latest episodes on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you would like to feature on a future podcast, get in touch by emailing us at marketing@hrlocker.com.